things that are around us. And so I have a sincere desire for your prayers for me right now. And I certainly don't want to take any time away from Brother Daddy or be in the way here. But I do want to, I do have some things that are on my mind this morning. Again, as I'm coming in and I'm just thinking about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and how abundant that it is and how it never stops. We may stop. We may become cold and hard and worldly because that's our nature. And that's the broad way, which is the easy way, which is the way if we don't, if we're not burdened or yoked properly, we're not looking to the right things, if we're not feeding from the right table, we can find ourselves in that world pretty quick. And that is a dark and cold place to be. But even when we're in that part of our natural selves, that doesn't hinder the Lord's grace and mercy that's ever flowing, that hasn't stopped. The blessings are happening all around us, and we just may not see them, but that doesn't mean they're not happening.
Correct.
And I don't want to get too far off onto that because I'll get to running off, and I don't want to do that. I want to turn to a portion of Scripture in the 6th chapter of Matthew here because I still think about that old nature that we have to contend with every day, and it's a point of contention for us, and brethren, will be a point of contention for us for the rest of our lives until the good Lord calls us home because of the sin in Adam in which we all died, and that is we are in a spiritual warfare on a daily basis, and we'll have to be for the rest of our days as the Lord tarries, and we need to be prepared for that. I believe as the Lord's children, we need to be prepared for that. We need to understand that. And I think if we do understand that, then it does help us to prepare. It does help us to understand that we're not going to be able to just wake up and go like the world does. We're not just going to be able to wake up and do like the world does. There are certain things that we as little saints of God need to do and need to be, and places where we need to be and places where we need to feed in order to walk in the ways that we need to walk. A lot of times I feel like we get caught up in worrying about things. And here's what I want to point out this morning as I'm looking at in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And I start at the 25th verse. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We sow and we reap. We have choice of where we do those things. The fowls of the air don't have that. That's not, they're just kind of there. But the Lord says, he feeds them. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature, meaning word? So this worry, this natural worry that we have, that we get so cumbered by, that we get so heavy laden with, that we get so burdened down with, that robs us of our spiritual joy, that takes us away from the good things, that blinds us to all of these things that the good Lord has blessed us with, that we get so caught up in the day-to-day. And yes, brothers and sisters, we're natural bodies. We have to eat. We have to eat. We have to drink. We have to do these things that take care of our natural health. But where do we put them in our priorities? Where do we have them in our day-to-day? I believe that's the thought that we're talking about here, because as we worry about things, our worry alone of itself, of us, changes nothing.
Absolutely.
We can worry. worry until we can work. We can call other friends. We can get a whole bunch of us together. And we can all sit around and worry together. We can get 10, 15 of us. But if we're all just worrying together, we're not, nothing's solved. Nothing's being fixed. Nothing's changing. Because all we're doing is just trying to fix it ourselves. And I'll get to where we need to get to. So let me keep going. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Now he didn't say the lilies of the flower shop. He didn't say these prepared lilies. He says the lilies of the field. That's just out, you know. That's not somebody else coming behind you and picking you up, or mama washing your clothes, or anything like that. This is in the open. This is us as we are. The lilies of the field. Consider how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if you read about Solomon, you can read about all of that glory and all that arraignment. It says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Which means that's the vapor, right? It's that's what this time on earth is. That's what these natural things are. That's what this stuff is. It's here for a moment and it's gone. It's gone. That natural beauty, it fades. Those natural things, those knees, that back, that stuff's going to stop working. It's going to hurt. From the day we're born, we begin to die from a natural standpoint. We'll never be better than the day we came out, than the day we're born. But there's something more. He didn't leave us in that. He didn't just leave us here to just live a natural life. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
And in our room instead, he paid a sin debt before the foundation of the world. So again, I want to express to you this morning that this message here is for the little children of God. This is for the little child of God. Because that's what preaching is for. You're not going to walk in these church doors and get saved eternally. You're going to walk in these church doors because you're already saved eternally. You already have an eternal salvation, and you have a hunger and a desire, and you're thirsting after righteousness, and I believe that's why everyone is here this morning. And I'm telling you, little children, there's a place here that the good Lord takes care of all of these things that we daily worry about. And we do. We do need them. Yes, but sometimes we over worry about them. They cumber us. We burden ourselves with the cares of the world. As to what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to deal with tomorrow? How are we going to take care of this? Or we got this thing coming up. I got this thing coming up in a couple weeks. I got all kinds of worries, and I can't even enjoy my day. I can't enjoy my moment. Why? The Lord's telling me right here, he's got me covered. Let me keep going. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the worldly look. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Let's read that again. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I already recognize this. Jimmy, I already recognize this. You're missing today. You're missing your blessings of the day. Worrying about what you got coming up in 2 weeks that I'm going to take care of. What are you supposed to be doing first? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does it say? And all these things shall be added unto you. That's a declaration of I got it. The Lord's got it. Not I got it. I mean, that's the Lord saying I got it. The Lord's got it. What are you supposed supposed to be seeking? What am I supposed to be looking for? I should be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Help me, Lord, when I wake up in the morning to thank Thee for getting out of bed, for just opening my eyes this morning, dear Lord. Help me to thank Thee for that. When I sit down to have a meal, regardless of whether it's a slice of apple or a piece of cheese or a big old steak, help me to thank Thee, dear Lord, for the food that You put on my table. When I spend time with a precious brother or a sister, and I'm edified and I'm lifted up, thank You. Help me, Lord, to bless You and thank You for what You put in my life. Help me to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. Because that's what that means. We have a tendency to want to look everywhere else. We want to look to this thing or this thing. We want to look up Google. We want to look up WebMD. We want to figure out all these things. When really where we need to turn to is the Lord and turn it over. It says, God, help me. Amen. Because it's too big for me. I can't handle it. Read the Old Testament. See how many times He saved Israel from certain destruction and imminent doom. And look what He does for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And think about what He does for us. Why should we want to praise Him? Why shouldn't we be more thankful? Why shouldn't we be more proactive? Why shouldn't we be happier? We have a reason today to be really happy. And if we look out there, we won't see it. You walk out that door and you focus on what's in that world and you focus on what's on the news and you will not see it, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, you won't see it. But if you look at this book and you come off that TV and we get into this book, let us get into this book. And let us search and pray and study and ask. And unto us it shall be given. I know I feel like I've said too much. But I hope and pray that everything that I've said has been to the glory and honor of the Lord. But I want you to be happy when you leave out of here today, knowing that you have a God in heaven who is watching over us and taking care of us, and loving us every step of the way, even when we're too blind to see it. He's right there. Don't pray for me if you haven't, my God bless you.